Down the Dump Podcast.
Good day to you. Welcome to the Down the Dump Podcast. It is the end of August. It is the 30th of August. I counted down today. We have 33 days until training camp starts, which means we have roughly 60 days until the beginning of basketball season. We are excited. Thanks for joining us on the Down to Dunk Podcast. Remember, you can check us out on Twitter, at DTD Podcast. Search us in iTunes in their pod center on your phone. Search Down to Dunk Podcast. Subscribe to us. Rate us. Review us. We enjoy doing this. We enjoy it when people listen to it. We enjoy when people interact with us. So follow us on Twitter. Check us out on iTunes. We would love to get your feedback. Gentlemen.
Hello.
I am joined with, this is Jay, joined with Taylor and Andrew. Taylor, you doing okay?
I'm doing well. I'm ready for basketball. Yesterday was a really important day for me, not because I love college football, but because my live sports basketball countdown has begun with the college football season starting.
It's crazy. It's my first one that I start thinking about is Little League, like the Little League.
Oh, okay.
You think of Little League.
Yeah.
Well, Little League World Series means that football is right around the corner.
Yeah. Football starts, college starts, then NFL. And then I like the NFL, so I watch. I mean, I like college football, but I don't like keep up with it, you know? Yeah. And then NFL, I'll keep up with that. I'll watch games. And then that'll hold me over for like 2 months. And then
there's like four spectacular months where at some point throughout the week I have either a football game or an NBA, yeah, or sometimes even college basketball, especially this year, right?
It's going to be great.
I'm excited to watch Oklahoma State and Kansas play, and not OU necessarily. They don't have any players, no. I don't think. But getting to watch, I mean, there'll be enough sports to where my wife will literally hate me.
Oh, yeah.
Which is good. Yeah. She'll never see me again. Well, I'll be at home just on the couch.
Just get a. That's why if you get mobile league pass, you can just say, like, hey, sorry, I was taking a dump for an hour.
It's good.
But really, you're like watching basketball games, and you can't get in trouble for taking a dump for an hour. That's messed up if you do.
It's a lot of. Yeah, it'll create a lot of domestic strife at home if I can't take a dump for an hour.
Seriously.
Yeah.
That's the point.
Well, yeah. Basketball.
That's messed up.
That is messed up.
That's messed
up. So what we're doing is we continue on until training camp, where we'll start doing our preseason specials. As we've been counting down kind of the different teams and different divisions and looking at their success over the offseason or their failures over the offseason. We'll rate them. We'll do our pour one out, and we'll do our say what move of the year in the division. And so today we are going over the Pacific Division.
You know what? I'm doing good, too. You didn't ask me.
Andrew, I'm so sorry. Andrew, how are you?
You know, I'm doing good. I've been eating a lot of watermelon lately.
Really?
More watermelon in the past 3 days than I've eaten in the past probably 6 years.
Did you... Is there a reason behind that?
It was in the fridge.
That's a good reason.
Sometimes it's the only reason you need.
So what are the benefits so far, if you can tell?
I don't have to drink as much water.
Because there's water inside of the melon.
It quenches my thirst and satisfies my hunger.
It does not satisfy your hunger.
Yes, it sure does.
Does it really?
Yes.
Yes, it sure does.
Yes, it sure does.
Okay, well, watermelon.
Shout out to watermelon.
Andrew also did a what seems like an intense run yesterday. He just told us earlier that he did a 4 mile jaunt through a dirt bike,
like dirt bike path,
a mountain bike trail,
a mountain bike.
The Hefner mountain bike trails.
They call it's like a combination parkour,
yeah,
slash running, slash dirt biking.
I did about feet. Did about 4 360s.
Did you really?
No.
Oh gosh, I was really gonna just show up at that thing and try to find people running around there. Andrew, it's good to see you, man.
So good.
We enjoy these days, and so we're excited to talk a little basketball. Pacific Division, how you want to start this?
Let's start with the Golden State Warriors. I don't feel right starting this. I'm going to go ahead and tell you who's on their roster, and then I'm going to let Taylor talk.
Okay.
I really want to know how he feels about this.
He did just wink to us, by the way.
So he heard that. We'll start I'll just go down the line here. They're point guards. They have obviously they have Steph Curry. They added Tony Douglas to their team, and then they have Kent Bazemore, who can kind of play the two as well, but I think he's primarily a point guard. At the two, Klay Thompson. They signed Seth Curry, which I couldn't put him as a point guard because I do not see him running the point for any team in the NBA. And then Nemanja Nedovic.
Nemanja Nanmaste.
Who is that? I don't know who that is. Small forward. They added Andre Iguodala.
Significant.
Who is that?
Who? Harrison Barnes and Draymond Green. Do you know Draymond? I've been calling him Draymond. It's got a D. Do you pronounce the D?
Draymond.
No, I just say Draymond. Draymond Green.
Draymond Green.
Draymond.
I feel like I haven't pronounced the D for so long that I have to like give that D a little more.
Oh, right. I'm you have to make up.
I'll get the media guide for us next year.
Draymond.
Okay, thanks.
At the power forward, David Lee, and they added Maurice Spates.
Did you know there's no U in Maurice?
You know there's like so many letters in Maurice.
Maurice.
It's really hard to spell.
Maurice Spates came from the Cavaliers, right? Via the Grizzlies?
Yes.
Yes, via. And then at the center position, they have Andrew Bogut. They added Jermaine O'Neal, and then they got a man, Festus.
So I really like their offseason moves so much so that I started talking about this team as if they were in the Northwest Division last week. And I gave them the best offseason move of the Northwest Division, and they're not even in the division. I think they're really good. I think, Jay, you brought up the point that they were a little shallow at guard depth. And I think they are. I think Tony Douglas is really big. I think he fills that that Jarrett Jack role really well for them. Not Jarrett Jack. He's good.
Came from the biggest Jarrett Jack homer in the world.
I think he fills the role.
I don't even know where Jarrett Jack
is. I don't think he does.
I don't.
Atlanta?
I wouldn't.
Listen, Cleveland? You don't replace Jarrett. You don't replace Jarrett Jack as your sixth man.
With anybody ever.
No. But Tony Douglas out there with Klay Thompson, with Harrison Barnes, with Iguodala. He'll probably play with Iguodala more. I think he fills the role fine. I think he's a fine backup point guard.
Yeah, he's a good defender, and he's an okay shooter. I don't know.
He's okay. He can hit some threes.
I don't know anything about Tony Douglas. Didn't he play for the Knicks at some point?
Yeah.
He Kings. Did. Mm-hmm. And he's got two first names. He has no last name.
Tony Douglas.
And he was on the Rockets last year for a little bit. No, was it last year? Yes, he was. At some point, he was on the Rockets.
So normally, when a guy has 17 teams that we can't remember that he plays with, it really means that he's...
I lose track of where Tony Douglas plays.
It's very surprising to me. But then, so they have that. Andre Iguodala is going to be their small forward, which puts Harrison Barnes on the bench, which I think he'll be fine off the bench. He'll coming off the bench. He'll be really still. Good.
He was one of my biggest surprises of last year.
Yeah.
Coming out of high school, he was a phenom, you know, kind of the Shabazz Muhammad realm, you know, number one recruit in the nation. Went to North Carolina, played a year, was okay his freshman year. Didn't really develop much. You know, it's one of those guys, his college game wasn't his thing. Like, it didn't fit. He didn't fit in Roy Williams' system. And his second year, and not that he wasn't good in college. Second year, he came back and played again, and they were just okay. North Carolina,
right.
You know, with a guy like Harrison Barnes, of who you assumed he should have been, I feel like they should have been competitive in the championship ring, but they never were. And so Harrison Barnes comes to the NBA and really found his niche.
It took him a little bit, buddy.
We talked about this just a minute ago, but before the pod, and... systems are so significant to the development of players.
Mm-hmm.
And for a guy like Harrison Barnes, and even if we were going to make that that comparison with Shabazz Muhammad, who they are on a team with matters. Mark Jackson being the coach of a guy like Harrison Barnes, and not that Harrison Barnes is mental or anything, but him being the coach gives him a different structure that maybe is more relational. Like, I see Mark Jackson more of a coach that kind of maybe can connect. Plus, you just have a fun team.
Yeah.
You have good guys, which kind of relaxes people that maybe go into it. Because Harrison Barnes, my theory is that he had too much pressure in college.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was supposed to be the guy that led North Carolina to, you know, this, this, this. And so at Golden State, he has the opportunity to just to be a role player. And I think he fits that role perfectly. And I'm excited to watch his development over the next 3 or 4 years. They're young.
Yeah.
They're talented.
I thought Draymond Green was starting to look really good last year, too. He really came through in the playoffs last year. He was already a really good defender. But that's another guy who's like, him and Harrison Barnes are kind of like small forward, power forward-ish. You know, they can, they're big enough to play the power forward.
I just don't know how much Draymond Green's going to play.
I don't know either, but he is good enough.
How much does Jermaine O'Neal play?
As much as he can.
Yeah.
I don't know.
If there's a question mark for me, it's going to be a center position. I think Bogut has incredible ability, but if he can stay healthy for a season, I will be. And he played really well towards the end of the season, especially in the playoffs. But and they had enough confidence in him to move. Not that old Beandrins is going to do much, but he played. So, and they believe in Festus, or they'll just roll out a two power forward lineup for most of the season, which is fine.
I think Jermaine O'Neal is good enough to where they can only play Andrew Bogut 20-25 minutes a game just to keep his body healthy and fresh for the playoffs, because when he was healthy in the playoffs, he made a huge difference on the defensive end more than anything, but like that was a big deal. So get him to the playoffs and you're good. You know,
but can you rely on Jermaine O'Neal to stay healthy? I don't think you can.
No, but you play him out until he's done, and then you can. Right, you can play smaller. You can play small with guys like Harrison Barnes and Draymond Green.
David Lee to the five, and let Maurice Spates play some of that too.
David Lee at five is weird.
But in bad matchups, there's not a lot of teams that have legitimate centers, and so putting Lee at the five just puts you in a terrible place.
No, I think it's more about rim protection though.
If you don't have that defensive backstop, especially on this team, when you have Curry and Klay Thompson, I mean, they let guys go right by them. And then if you have David Lee, there is your backstop defender. It's free reign on layups and dunks.
I think David Lee is really good, but I wouldn't be upset, and I don't think they would be worse if they somehow kind of traded him for something. I think he's really good. I don't think they really need him on the team. I don't think he'll fit, but he doesn't need to fit. You know, does that make sense?
Yeah.
And I think that would open up their lineup opportunities a lot more too. If David Lee wasn't there,
they're gonna hurt.
If they can move David Lee, they also get a bunch of money.
Butt ton of money.
It's gonna be hard to trade David Lee.
Yeah.
He's got a tough contract.
And he gets hurt.
Get somebody to take Richard Jefferson and Andres Bindrids.
This is true. They only have 1 year left. They're expiring contracts, so they're...
David Lee's got two now?
Yeah.
15 years. They signed
15.
15. They could trade him to the Wizards for Emeka Okafor and Trevor Ariza today.
Nope. That wouldn't be bad. I think Golden State... No, I don't. I don't think they would take that. Anyway.
I mean, I think the significant move that Golden State made was getting Iguodala. They tried to get some nice pieces to fit around him. They were big movers and shakers early on in the free agent. And I think we convinced ourselves that they had a legitimate chance to get Dwight Howard.
Mm-hmm.
They tried to.
But I think what they came out with after offseason was a good roster. We'll talk about here in a minute what that puts them at in the division. And then eventually we'll talk about the Western Conference where it puts them. But I liked kind of the moves.
I love it.
They're going to be fun to watch. And they made a great run this postseason, taking the Spurs. Really, what was a way closer series than even the final.
I think Curry and Klay are going to pass their three-pointers made that they did last year even. I think they're going to break a new record this year. With Iguodala there, they don't have to do much.
They're going to have to play much. They're going to have to play more, too, just because they don't have Jarrett Jack. Because Jarrett Jack played a ton. I don't think Tony Douglas is going to play as much.
No, he's not. But he'll give Steph whatever, and then Iguodala can be the guy who handles the ball like Jarrett Jack would.
I'm worried about Iguodala's shooting, though.
I'm not that worried about it.
On this team, I'm very worried about it. Because... this past year, he shot 32% from three,
mm-hmm.
Which is not very good. And he took more three-pointers than he has in years. And I know in 2012, he played less games, but he took about 100 less threes.
Yeah.
I just worry that he... And he's never shot 40% from three. He's always been a sub 40% shooter, and I worry about that on a Golden State team that relies so heavily on the three ball.
Well, I was thinking he could be a guy who would handle the ball more and not shoot as many, you know, spot up threes or whatever, but maybe pass. He's such a good passer.
He's a good distributor.
Yeah, he is. And that's what I hopefully that's the role they will play him in, because that's his best role, I think.
I agree. I just don't know if you want to take the ball out of Steph Curry's hands.
No, but I think it can be like how it was with Jarrett Jack last year, how, like, when they're both in, they both kind of share the role. Because Iguodala, if you can catch him going to the basket, he can score. Super athletic.
I love everything else that he does. Yeah. I think he does a ton on the court. I just worry about his shooting.
I understand that.
Next team?
The Clips. Is it the Clips?
Clippers. Okay, so we'll run through their lineup again. Or not again, but we'll run through the lineups. At point guard, CP3, Chris Paul. They added Darren Collison for, like, super cheap, like $1.2 million.
Yeah, that was stupid.
Yeah, like, that's dumb.
And then they have Malik Wanes. I don't know if he's still on the roster or not.
I think he is. When I looked it up yesterday, I think he is.
Shooting guard, J.J. Redick. They added him, which is a that's a fantastic
so good
addition to their team. And they have Jamal Crawford, Willie Green, and they added Reggie Bullock from the draft, who had a really great summer league, which means absolutely nothing.
He
could be good. Small forward, they added Jared Dudley, and they re-signed Matt Barnes. Power forward, Blake Griffin. I put Byron Mullins as a power forward.
I was thinking about that, too.
He's more of a two.
He could come in for either guy, but I think he's just going to stand in the corner. He's going to be Channing Frye 2.0.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, he's going to be just as good as that. I also thought his name was now officially Lord Byron the Beach Mullins.
All of that?
I think
everything you said?
I think that's what he changed
it to. He's working on developing that.
Yeah, and he's going to have the beige on the back of his jersey.
Le beige.
Le beige.
And then they just signed Anton Jameson, which is just something.
That's something.
Pour one out for Lamar at that point, because that was
his spot.
Ouch.
We can't, you know, I got a Lamar.
Center position, we have DeAndre Jordan, and they re-signed Ryan Hollins, which is a guy who just tries to dunk everything and falls down all the time. So he's just a guy.
He gets really mad. He does some dirty stuff.
You talking about both of their centers?
Ryan Hollins.
Both of their centers is trying to dunk everything.
DeAndre Jordan does try to dunk. Does he fall down, though? I don't know how much he falls down.
No, he does kill people, though.
He's awesome. He's really funny. Okay, so the Clippers offseason. They obviously made some really nice moves. Their three-point shooting has obviously gotten significantly better with adding J.J. and Jared Dudley. And even Byron Mullins,
Reggie Bullock.
They're going to shoot tons of threes.
You know what, though? Do you play Anton Jameson over Byron Mullins?
I don't know.
I know. How do you know? I don't know either.
I don't know how much Anton Jameson has left.
He was a valuable. Okay, he was a role player for the Lakers last year. I won't say valuable, but he wasn't terrible for the Lakers.
He was a role player for a fringe playoff team last year, guys. He should.
I mean,
I don't know, but I mean, Byron Mullins played for the Bobcats,
exactly.
I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like playing for the D League.
I highly doubt Le Beige will get as many opportunities to shoot the ball as he did in Charlotte.
There
were games where he shot 15, 20 shots.
Oh, God.
If he does that in the Doc Rivers lineup with Chris Paul on the floor and Jared Dudley or J.J. Redick or Blake Griffin,
And Doc Rivers and Alvin Gentry are the coaches, by the way.
Which is pretty awesome.
Which is awesome. I think they're going to hate Byron Mullins.
No.
Really?
He's just going to stand in the corner. Alvin Gentry?
Well, I know, but like, why?
The Suns teams that had Channing Frye.
Oh, that's true.
And he just literally stood in the corner.
I guess I was thinking defense, too.
Let it fry.
Oh, my God. I guess I was thinking defense, too, but Jameson's defense is really bad, too, so it doesn't matter.
It's probably worse.
Yeah.
No, that's something I think is a source of, not fear, but a source that there's not a lot of good defenders on that team other than Chris Paul and Jared Dudley.
Once you get out of
Matt Barnes.
Matt Barnes is all right.
DeAndre Jordan plays good defense on accident a lot.
That's true.
That's what I want to be known for.
I heard DeAndre
accidentally is in the right spot.
I heard DeAndre Jordan, what they told him was, when you're on defense, just pretend like you're dunking a ball when someone shoots the ball, and maybe you'll block the ball.
Dunk the ball on them.
I think one of the most significant things for them, though, I mean, I'm stating the obvious, but to see the change that Doc Rivers brings to an organization, the mindset defensively, just everything about it, I think, changes with Doc Rivers being there. And that's significant. You know, we talk about a lack of defenders, but in the end, he creates defenders sometimes where they weren't known for that before.
Yeah, I mean, Ray Allen became a really good team defender with the Celtics, and he wasn't known as a defender coming in. I mean, he wasn't atrocious, you know, when they traded for him. But, you know, he played really well, you know, on that Celtics team whenever he wasn't limping up and down the court. But we'll see. I think we're going to really see how much NBA coaches matter watching this Clippers team next year, going from Vinny Del Negro to Doc Rivers, because everybody says that is just a massive leap, you know, in the coaching realm, but we'll see how much it matters. I mean, this team could foreseeably win 60 games.
Yeah, the Clippers are pretty high on my list of teams for next year.
If they can do that, you know, we'll see how much coaching matters. And is Chris Paul going to be healthy the whole season?
Yeah.
You know, he has lots of health concerns. So, and Blake Griffin.
Blake Griffin needs to be able to shoot this year. He has to be able to shoot this year with high picks and high post stuff. He's got to be able to hit those.
There's
going to
be so much room for this team to shoot as well, because you can't leave JJ Redick, Jamal Crawford, Jared Dudley, or even Matt Barnes. You can't leave any of those guys.
No.
And then even if there's space on the floor, I mean Byron Mullins is a. It just seems more like a punchline than an NBA player, but he, he'll space the floor too. So I mean, they're gonna have tons. I mean, Chris Paul is gonna be in just basketball heaven.
Oh yeah,
because he's gonna be able to do whatever he wants on the court because he's gonna have the room to do it.
I think the biggest issue facing the Clippers is, can they avoid a first round matchup with the Grizzlies? It's such a bad matchup for them.
I think they would beat them this year. I think they would beat them.
I think they could. And they were, you know, we don't know what would have happened if Blake didn't sprain his ankle
in the
playoff series. Because that playoff series was pretty close.
It was.
It's hard to evaluate them off this past playoff, you know, this past playoff run. But it's going to be interesting to see what they were able to do.
Mm-hmm. I like just about everything they did this offseason.
Yeah.
There's not one bad move, I don't think, on their roster. I think that depending on how they use Anton, and it's not Antoine, by the way.
No, it's Anton.
But how they use Anton and Byron Mullins, like, depending on how they use them, they have the ability to be, I mean, with Doc Rivers' system, I think they have the ability to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't surprise me if they were the fifth seed or the first seed.
Yep.
It wouldn't surprise me if they were out in the first round or they made it to the finals.
Yep.
Yep.
Like, they have such a high ceiling, and then they could just be very similar to what they were last year. I mean, it's hard to know. But I'm excited to watch them. I think the Darren Collison move is significant. I think that he obviously can be a really good backup point guard. he's proven in the past few years that he's not a starting point guard in this league. But he's played with Chris Paul before, and he was spectacular with him.
He's really good as a good backup.
And he's in a system now that is probably more similar to what they're running in New Orleans, where it's going to be more open, lots of shooting, and he's going to be able to create a lot. So I'm excited. I'm excited to watch this team. I think J.J. Redick, too. I mean, both Redick and Dudley are both great character guys, the perfect role players for any team.
Yeah.
I mean, they could fit on any team and play. And they both shoot threes, and they both try hard on defense, and they're both not atrocious passers.
They're going to push my heart for the Clippers a little bit, because I sometimes hate them, but I love the additions. They're all pretty good character guys. Like, there's not a really – they have Matt Barnes is their only Kendrick Perkins on their team, you know, that guy that kind of annoys you with his attitude.
Right.
The rest of them. I mean, it's good guys. Now, I get annoyed by CP3 and Blake's complaining about fouls, but as far as being – it seems like good character guys. They're really, really, really good.
Yep.
Which is significant. I think it makes a team, I don't know, the chemistry works better, the work ethic, all of those things are part of that too. So Andrew's got a question about the Clippers.
This is from Jamie Dunwheat, an original Down to Dunker. Who is going to go further this season, Clips or Rockets? And which team would you rather coach? I'm going to go to Taylor because he has such a good look on his face right now.
And by good look, it's a really confused look. I think I would go with Clippers. I think I like Chris Paul. Do I like that better? I don't know. Whatever. But I really like their starting five. That's the biggest thing. Their starting five and having Chris Paul as your point guard, I would rather coach that team. With my coaching expertise, waste my time.
My opinion, not that you asked me, which is fine. I'm not saying that in like a bitter way.
That was payback.
I know. Andrew, how's your day?
All right, so the Lakers.
I would go with the Clippers primarily because of bench depth and Chris Paul.
Yep. Chris Paul's the guy that you want to
coach. Rivers is going to... And, you know, Rondo's great, but Rondo's also a pain in the butt. Mm-hmm. And so he's going to rejoice at a guy that wants to listen and work, you know, not work hard like as if Rondo didn't, but buy into what Doc is saying. And it's not some sort of grueling conversation every time you have it with your point guard kind of thing.
Yeah, I think the Clippers have a better chance to go further this season. Also because they have a lot. All these guys are veterans as well, and they're not all super young. And if me today in my current state was just somehow placed as head coach of either one of these teams,
it'd be a great day.
It'd be great.
Would you bring us on your staff?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Thanks.
I would choose the Clippers because Chris Paul, I don't have to tell him anything. I say, go do it.
Go play basketball.
Vinny Del Negro made millions of dollars off not doing anything. Of Chris Paul coaching his team.
4 seed.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I also would not want to deal with Dwight Howard at all.
I do think Kevin McHale is the right coach for Dwight Howard right now, but we'll get into that when we get to the
more
division.
The more significant thing for me is Daryl Morey, is he the owner or the GM?
GM.
Is he the right GM?
GM.
For Dwight. Because that's what matters. You know, like.
Yeah.
Coaches will come and go. Like, McHale will do a good job of roping him in, but is Daryl Morey going to, in the end, if Dwight Howard comes to him in a year or two and I don't feel like I'm being used correctly? And,
right.
Like, is Daryl Morey going to say,
sorry, you chose us?
Yeah. Or is he going to say, okay, well, we'll fire everybody. Can we trade these?
Right. Or would it be the Orlando thing all over
again? Such a significant thing.
That's why I just want nothing to do with Dwight Howard.
Yeah, you don't really know. He always starts off really good, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah.
He always starts off he's going to be
LA.
Like...
No, the whole LA thing was just a disaster.
I cannot wait till he plays in LA. Which is a Christmas game?
It's one of those games.
They're going to destroy him.
Yeah.
If the fans are there paying attention.
Speaking of LA,
we're going to move on to the Lakers.
The Lakers.
At this team.
The Lakers. Point guards for the Lakers. Steve Nash, Steve Blake, Darius Morris, Andrew Galbach. all from last year.
Wait, you're missing one.
Who?
Jordan Farmar.
Oh, yeah, I forgot Jordan Farmar.
Possibly their biggest addition of the offseason.
They got 5-point guards.
I think they do have 5-point guards.
They went from having none.
Jordan Farmar's better than Steve Blake, too. He should 100% be their backup.
Why? He wasn't in the league last year.
I don't think that's because he wasn't good. Wasn't it because he was in the it was the lockout and he signed a deal that had no NBA clause, so he had to finish his deal. I know, but that was he was in Europe for 2 years.
I don't know.
I think he's really good. I think he's a really good backup point guard. Okay. I think he's better than Steve Blake.
I'm already over. I'm already over the Lakers.
I disagree. I disagree. I think Steve Blake is better.
We'll see about that. Looks weirder.
He looks a lot weirder. He also has a punch out video on YouTube.
He does. Seen that? Steve Blake does.
Yeah, he's like in a gym, and it's some pickup game. Maybe it was in college or something. And he gets mad at someone, fights someone, punches him right in the face.
I thought you were talking like Mike Tyson's punch out where
gets punched out.
He's a little guy and he's fighting Pink Flamenco and stuff. Nope. All right. Here we go.
I don't know.
What are you talking about?
The game Mike Tyson punch out. Did I just date myself?
I never had Atari.
You've been dated.
It wasn't Atari, man.
I never had.
It was the Nintendo.
64? Right. Whatever.
The Lakers obviously are in chaos mode. So much of their season depends on Kobe Bryant's health.
And whether Steve Blake or Jordan Farmar play.
Very important.
Who's it going to be?
Also, their team is really stupid. If you look at their offseason, this is terrible.
We'll go through it. Shooting guard. They have Kobe, kind of.
Who else they got?
Nick Swaggy P. Young.
Swaggy P.
And Jody Meeks.
Jody Meeks.
Jody Meeks is surprisingly decent last year.
He shoots.
He was good.
He does shoot.
He shoots.
He's got a big old butt. He sticks his butt out when he plays defense.
It's Derek Fisher 2.0.
He shoots. Yeah,
he's like negative 2.0. But
small
yeah.
forward. I have no idea who's going to play out of these guys. Here's how I have them ranked. They signed Wes Johnson, which is... he plays basketball. Devin Ebanks is still on the team. A guy named Ryan Kelly.
Duke. The white guy from Duke.
No, he's playing for New Jersey, I thought.
What?
No, that's Mason Plumlee with New Jersey.
No, this is the guy. He has horse teeth. He shot threes. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, no.
He won't play the three for them, though.
A guy named Elias Harris.
Yeah, I don't know who that is.
He's basketball. Power forward. Pau Gasol and Jordan Hill.
Okay, that's covered.
Which is good. And then Chris Kaman at center and Robert Sacre.
Sacre Blue.
God.
Have you seen Robert Sacre's tattoos?
No.
He's got like tattoos of all these rappers on his belly and his chest.
Does he really?
Yeah.
Like their faces or just their names?
Their faces. Like their faces.
Wow.
That's weird.
That's cool. Robert Sacre. They should start him over Kaman.
They actually should. I don't know. This team is
Garbaggio.
It all depends so much on whether Kobe Bryant comes back.
Yeah,
because if Kobe Bryant comes back, I could see him dragging this team to the 8th seed, which would be their absolute worst case scenario for this season. If you're the Lakers,
you mean best case?
No, their best case scenario is that they tank.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying.
It doesn't do them any good to make the 8th seed because they're going to lose in the first round to whoever it is. And then they'll have the 15th, 16th pick in the draft. Like, okay, great. Mm-hmm. That does nothing for you. So I think they should tank. They should try to get a top 5 pick while they have their picks because they gave away 3 first-round picks for Steve Nash.
Yeah.
So they'll have their pick this year. They won't have it the following year. They'll have it the next year, and they won't have it the year after that. So I think they need to tank. They need to try to get a top 10 pick and not worry about winning. Because obviously if you roll out, somebody named Steve, Nick Young, Jody Meeks, Wes Johnson, Pau Gasol, Chris Kaman, they're not good.
No, they're not good.
I think they need to try to find a suitor for Pau Gasol and move him out too. I mean, if I were running this team, I would just tank. I would try to get a top five pick in this next draft and rebuild that way and keep Kobe, have this young guy come in, get rid of all these guys, and just try to rebuild, because this team doesn't have a direction whatsoever.
No, this is such a weird team that they put together. Also, this is Wes Johnson's last chance to play in the NBA, I think. Because he hasn't, this is fourth year?
No, I mean, this is fourth year. He's the Boogie Cousins draft.
Yeah, he hasn't done anything. He hasn't been a reliable player on any team. I think this is his last chance, especially when you're on the Lakers with a team of, you know, with a bullcrap team. You have to show out, or I don't think you're going to have a job in them.
I'm super surprised they let Earl Clark finally become a decent basketball player for the Lakers and then let him walk.
Especially this season.
That's what he's Trevor Ariza. He's these guys that overperform on the Lakers, and then somebody gives them a big contract, and then they are highly disappointing, and then they become just this big contract on your team that doesn't make a lot of sense.
Cavs, too?
Yeah, Cavs signed him.
Cavs did a lot.
They did a lot, too.
So Dwight Howard came out. This report came out that he said in their meeting that you need to do these things.
Amnesty Kobe.
In order for me to stay. You need to fire Mike D'Antoni and either amnesty or put a muzzle on Kobe Bryant.
Put a muzzle? Like he was tired of Kobe talking to him or what? Okay.
Like shut him up, get rid of him, and I'll come back. And they said, bye-bye.
Yeah.
They didn't do any of those things.
No.
So that's an interesting storyline. Just adds to the animosity that the Lakers fans are going to have for Dwight Howard. Because they, I mean, at the end of it, and whether this is rational or not, they were ready. They wanted him to go.
Yep. I think they're stupid. Why do you want Dwight Howard to go? Why don't you want the situation to be fixed with Dwight Howard?
I wouldn't want Dwight Howard.
You wouldn't want him?
If I was a Lakers fan, I wouldn't want Dwight Howard. If Dwight Howard came to the Thunder and said, okay, the only way I'm playing is if Scott Brooks goes, I'd be kind of like, okay. But number two, if he said, but you got to get Russell Westbrook off the team.
No, I wouldn't do it. No.
Kobe Bryant's like their son, man. No way. They love Kobe Bryant. He has four championships? No.
Five.
Yeah, five championships.
He's won them five rings, you know.
He won them.
I wouldn't say get rid of Kobe. I would say
Shaq won them three. Just to clarify.
Oh, ouch.
Well, they wouldn't have won without Kobe.
Well.
Guys, don't get into this right now, okay? We're trying to talk about Swaggy P's new team.
Oh, you know I love Shaq.
I know.
The Shaq this?
There's not Shaq a lot about the Lakers that excites me.
No.
Kobe Bryant. The biggest question is not whether he comes back, but what he looks like when he comes back. I'm nervous. You look at Chauncey Billups when he came back. Obviously, Chauncey's not Kobe Bryant, but Chauncey just wasn't the same. Blowing your Achilles out and trying to come back, especially like Kobe Bryant. Is difficult, and so we'll see. I'm interested to see how he looks when he comes back. If they're healthy, which is a humongous if, I think they can push for an 8 seed, but I see them falling out of the playoffs. And I think that, Andrew, I'd probably agree with you on the tanking, but in the end, they're not ever going to do that with Kobe Bryant on their team.
Kobe Bryant won't let that happen.
Plus, they're going to go after... They don't.
Unless Smush Parker's on your team.
So rarely do they build... out of just the draft. And so they're going to go for free agents, and they're going to trust the fact that the Lakers brand's going to bring somebody in. So
they will. They're going to try to get somebody next summer.
They're trying to get LeBron and Carmelo. I bet they get neither of them.
They're not going to get either.
They're not going to get any of those guys.
They're not
going
to get Paul George. They're not going to get really anybody, I don't think. I think it's going to be really
disappointing.
Tough on the Lakers the next several years. And that's why I think they need to try to get Andrew Wiggins, Jabari Parker, or any of those guys. I think that's the way to go.
Yeah.
I think you have a better shot of getting those, you know, one of those blue chippers, and there's seven of them in this next draft. Like, go get one of those guys instead of, you know, trying to get LeBron. Like, why would LeBron leave Miami to come to the Lakers?
No,
like,
it doesn't make any sense.
He's been dying to play with Chris Kaman and Wes Johnson his whole career. Like,
yeah, yes, he has.
I mean, I don't see that happening. Another move, they amnestied Meta World Peace. And now he plays for the Knicks?
I think it's good for the Knicks.
Knicks are 65 years old on average now, right?
Just about.
Almost. 64.
I think every one of their players has come out of retirement to play for the Knicks. So Meta's gone, which actually is a pretty big loss for them, considering the fact they're going to have to play Wes Johnson, Devin Ebanks, Ryan Kelly, or
That's
some guy named
loss.
Elias Harris.
That's a big loss.
Because you don't want Nick Young playing small forward, because all he does is shoot. I mean, they have Nick Young and Jody Meeks, and the only thing those two guys really do is shoot. Mm-hmm. And that's it. They don't play much defense. And then you have poor Steve Nash, who's still on this team, and he has two more years left on his contract with the Lakers, which is just crazy. I hope that...
Why did they sign... He's 40?
He's 40.
He's Why do you sign 40. A guy to be 42 on your team?
Because he was awesome at 38.
Yeah, but when you're 38 and you're basketball and you're awesome, anything can mess
it's
that
true.
Up.
It's true. But they had Steve Nash, Kobe Bryant, Metta World Peace, Pau Gasol, and Dwight Howard.
I won't lie and say that I didn't think that they were going to be...
I thought they were going to be the best team, and then throughout the season started over and over again for the Lakers last year.
Yeah.
We beat the Wizards. Bad. Season starts today.
Yeah. I'm tired of talking about the Lakers.
Does anybody have anything else to say? Obviously not. You're both looking at your phones. Okay.
No, I was just seeing who the free agents were for 2014.
Okay. Everybody close your eyes real quick, because we're going to talk about the Suns. And Matt Judkins had a question for us.
Okay.
And I've been looking at this too much to be able to really answer this question.
Okay.
Jay.
Got it.
Tell me the starting five for the Suns without using your phone or anything. Go.
I might have cheated because I looked at this a little bit earlier. Goran Dragic.
Okay.
Eric Bledsoe. I don't know, I've already lost.
That's two point guards.
I think they're going to have to do that.
No, I think they're going to play Eric Bledsoe at shooting guard. Hornacek already said that.
That's two point guards. Go ahead.
Super cool bees.
Because I'm
Marcin Gortat. Alex Len. That's like I'm missing something.
That's the starting five?
That's five.
No, that's not five. They have two centers on
there. That's two centers and two point guards.
That's the five players I know on the Suns. Hold on.
No, that's five. He said name the starting five.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm trying to see if there's anybody else I can remember.
No, you're done.
That would be six players anyway.
Okay, all right. Here we go.
Okay.
You have to close your eyes.
Goran Dragic. Eric Bledsoe is going to play the two. I'm telling you, he's playing two.
That's two point guards.
I guess. I don't know. Mark Gortat's going to play center. Who's a small forward on their team? Beasley? Super cool, I guess.
I mean,
and then a power forward is... I couldn't tell you a power forward on their team right now.
I just cheated. I should have known those things.
Don't cheat.
I can't remember.
You have to name one.
Oh God, the Morris brothers. So one of them, Marcus.
Okay.
No, Markeith would play power forward.
All five positions filled by somebody related to Markeith or Marcus Morris.
Somebody related to
the Morris family
and their cousins.
I have three guys that their first names start with Mar in the starting lineup.
Okay.
Marcus Morris, Markeith Morris, and Marcin Gortat. I think Eric Bledsoe is going to be their point guard. Period. Like, why would you try to play him at shooting guard? He's not that big. He's a point guard. You're going to try to turn him into a shooting guard. Like,
but
why?
You can. This is what Jeff. I listened to an interview. This is what Hornacek said. He said he's going to play both of them. They're both going to play the point guard off ball position equally. That's what he said. Until they figure out, maybe okay, this guy suits this position better. This guy suits this position better.
Dragic
so
wasn't
he's not
bad last year, wasn't?
No, Dragic is really good.
I like him. I just think that
is a weird move.
What he'll find is that they're both should be a. They both should be point guards.
I think you're right. I think he's thinking there's more to Eric Bledsoe choices, off the ball
but here's
athletically.
The deal.
It doesn't mean you can't play them both together.
What's Eric Bledsoe's,
right, yeah.
If we're talking size, what's his size compared to Shannon Brown?
Shannon Brown. He's way better than Shannon Brown. I'm just saying he's going to have the ball in his hand. Shannon Brown is a spot-up shooter transition guy.
And I'm going to try to get on Sports Center.
And he plays good defense. From there, let's go through their roster. They have a ton of point guards. They have Eric Bledsoe, Goran Dragic, Kendall Marshall, and they just traded for Ish Smith. So that's a lot of point guards. And the Kendall Marshall thing, like that was a really big mistake. Here's the guys they could have taken instead of Kendall Marshall in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
John Hensman.
Yeah.
Mo Harkless. Terrence Jones. Andrew Nicholson. Evan Fournier. John Jenkins. PJ3. Festus. Draymond. And Jeffrey Taylor.
You know what, though? They were, at the time, they were looking for someone who can be the next point guard after Steve Nash. They thought Kendall Marshall, he looked really good in college. He was really good in college. They thought, okay, this is a guy who can, you know, be under Steve Nash for a couple years, and he'll probably take over as starting point guard, maybe, in the NBA.
In hindsight, it was just a horrible mistake.
It is.
He's your third guard.
It's a mistake, in hindsight. He's not really turning out, but...
Shooting guards. Shannon Brown, Gerald Green is on this team.
Mm-hmm.
Malcolm Lee is on this team. And PJ Tucker, who played pretty well last year on a really bad team.
Mm-hmm. He is a defensive guy.
Yeah.
Which I like PJ Tucker. I liked him in college, too. But
yeah, I like him as a player. I don't know. He's just one of those guys who is just on the fringe of being on a team or in the D League. Small forward. I think Marcus Morris is a small forward.
I think you're right. I just forgot about the Morris twins.
I think he's more of a small forward. Michael Beasley may or may not be on this team.
What?
They want to buy him out.
Like you're saying, is the rumor.
No, I know he's currently on the roster, but I think they want to buy him out, and I think they want him gone. And he may be out of the league, period.
No way. Somebody gives him money.
I don't know at this point if someone still gives him money. I think someone's given him money twice. How many times now? Somebody has tried, like, okay, we'll take Michael Beasley. We'll fix him. He'll work for our team.
Yeah.
How many times?
He's played for three NBA teams, right?
He's going to have to go to... I don't know. I don't think he may be done. I think it's going to take a contender that has a culture like the Thunder, like... the Spurs, like the Heat, to take a chance on this guy and bring him in, and he's going to have to change his life completely in order to be in the NBA. And I don't know if any of those teams are willing to do that or even have the roster space to do it.
Yeah.
He obviously can't make it on a bad team. He can't be the best player on a bad team.
Nope.
And then they also have a guy named Alex Orica.
Oriaki.
Oriaki, that's what I said. power forward, Markieff Morris, Channing Frye, and Miles Plumlee, who they got in a trade. Then they have Marcin Gortat, Alex Len, and Vrzhagudu. The guy they just traded for from the Bucks. The
Suns are going to be awful.
They're going to be really bad.
And that's what they want.
That is probably what they want.
And they got rid of Luis Scola and traded Caron Butler before he played a minute for them.
Good.
And the Kings.
Yeah, seriously.
Okay, so the Kings are a team of basketball players.
Yeah, weirdly put together.
They don't make much sense yet.
I really wish Jason Thompson went somewhere else, by the way.
Me too. He's too good for the Kings, huh?
Yeah, I like him a whole lot. He needs to be on a contender. Needs to be the center for the Thunder.
Yes. Andrew, what were the additions for this offseason for them?
They added Grievous Vasquez, Ray McCallum, at point guard, Ben McLemore, Luke Richard, and Bob Mute is on their team now. They signed Carl Landry.
And they lost?
Tyreek Evans.
Ooh.
So the projected starting lineup could be something like this or nothing like this. Vasquez... Thornton, Luke Richard and Bob Mute, Patrick Patterson, and DeMarcus Cousins.
You think Thornton over Ben McLemore?
Probably interchangeable.
I think so. I don't know how good he's going to be.
Yeah, I think they're going to push him to be. I think they're going to give him as many minutes as they can to start.
But they want him to be good.
Yeah.
Other significant guys that are on this team.
Where's Fredette?
Isaiah Thomas.
He's on there.
Isaiah Thomas, Jimmer, Carl Landry, Jason Thompson,
Chuck Hayes.
Still have John Salmons and Travis Outlaw. I mean, they have talent on this team.
That starting lineup wasn't the worst starting lineup I've ever seen.
No.
Yeah, I mean, every year this team, I'm like, hey, they could be good, and then they're not.
How much of it depends on Boogie?
All of it.
Totally.
Has more. I mean, the most talented center in the league. I'd even take him probably over Dwight.
That is unreasonable.
Offensive talent, I think he's spectacular.
He's very good.
He's really good. I would not take him over Dwight yet.
I'm saying offensive talent. I would take him over Dwight Howard.
Apparently the Kings have like 7 coaches.
They Michael Malone is like the head coach.
He's the head coach, and then they have 7 assists, like they have 6 assistant coaches.
5 of them personally assigned to Dwight or Boogie Cousins.
They said, we have no adults on this team.
No. Let's put 18 coaches.
We need more adults.
Well, and
hire adults.
Here's the deal. This is a make or break season for Cousins because it's a contract year.
Yeah, he's in a contract year.
And he'll be gone from the Kings if he doesn't do anything, which could be good for him, actually.
There's no way. I think whether he has a good year or a bad year, he doesn't. I kind of think he leaves.
Somebody throws.
No, he's getting a max contract from the Kings.
They're throwing all.
He's getting a max from the Kings.
That's
true. Next season, he's going to have a max contract from the Kings, guaranteed.
You're right.
I don't know.
All right. Stupid Kings.
Let's rank the division. Starting from the top. Start from the bottom.
Let's start from the top.
From the top.
Clippers 1. I think it's closer than what we think with Golden State, but I still think the Clippers are better.
Agreed. So I think
Clippers, Golden State. I would go Kings, Lakers, Suns as far as talent that they have on their team. I do like a ton of the players on the Kings, and the Kings have new ownership. They're not worried about their team moving. They have new head. They have new coaches. They have new GM. They have everything is new. So they have they actually have a shot this year. And saying that they're going to be better than the Lakers and the Suns is not. I'm not saying that's not saying out, very
too
much.
Too big of a limb. I like it. I think that's what I'll go with as well. I'll go 1 Clippers, 2 Warriors. And that's, I'm saying, like maybe 20 games difference between those two and the rest of the league.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'll go Lakers, actually.
If Kobe's healthy, I'll go Lakers 3.
Kings, Suns.
Yep.
Shut division.
That's what I do, too.
So let's pour one out for what team, what fan base, over the course of this offseason are you pouring one out for?
I guess. Maybe not. I don't know.
I'm pouring out for the Lakers fans.
I mean, give a crap about Lakers fans.
That's okay. I do. We talked about their miserable team. I'm pouring out for them.
I'm going a little bit out on a limb here. I'm pouring one out for Seattle this offseason. Or not this offseason, actually towards the end of the regular season last year. Seattle was so close to getting the Kings.
They were getting the... I mean, do you guys remember when it was like, the Kings are going to Seattle. Seattle will have a basketball team.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden somebody came through. And so pour one out for Seattle. It's so close. So close.
That was just the biggest tease. Patrick Dempsey
for your soccer team. So you got that going for you.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Weird.
They had 67,000 people at a soccer game the other day, which is pretty crazy. But a pour one out for Seattle. So my say what move... for the offseason has to be, well,
say what?
What do you guys say? You're going to say Iggy.
Yeah, mine was my Northwest Division move from last week, which is Golden State Warriors.
If I was going to say a say what one, that Darren Collison move.
Yeah, that's true.
After they sign it to Jimmy Go.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Yeah, that's nuts and butts.
I say, what's the Eric Bledsoe move for the Suns? I really love that move for them. I think he's a building block for their team. I think he's a point guard they can build around. He's not going to win them any games this year, which is what they want. So they can go get a top five pick, still have Eric Bledsoe. And
they've got some pieces they can move, too. They could make a move with Dragic. They could make a move with Gortat. Mm-hmm. That's going to get, because they don't need them now as much.
Right.
Make a move for some different pieces or maybe another couple picks or.
Yeah, they could trade Dragic or Marcin Gortat for a draft pick in the 20s, maybe.
Yeah.
I mean,
I think either of them,
a
definitely.
Young player and a pick in the 20s.
Yep.
You know, it's at least a team that has identified kind of the direction they're going. And my issue with the Kings is it's kind of like they probably will be okay this year, you know, hovering around 500 maybe. But it's hard to see still a really good direction with them.
Yeah.
This is the Kings way, but you do see a little bit more today than you saw last year where they had 7 point guards and nothing else.
I'm glad Isaiah Thomas is not their starting point guard anymore.
Yeah. He did okay, but yeah.
Yeah, their organization was an absolute mess. It was chaos.
Mm-hmm.
The Moves Brothers.
And that matters. I mean, that absolutely matters to an NBA team.
Yep.
Stability is huge. And they're actually going to have some stability this year. So I think that they're going to be better just because of that.
Yep. Hey, guys, let's talk about... this is the last thing we can talk about today, okay?
Okay.
Or unless you had something else to say.
Yes. No.
The LO, Lamar Odom.
Man, I don't want to talk about this.
You really don't?
No.
Why?
Well, we don't really know what happened.
Jay, will you talk about it with me?
Everyone, here's a reality for me on this.
Okay.
I feel bad for him. So the reports are, which they're reports, and so we're being honest about that. But the reports are that he's struggling with some major addiction to some really, really bad drugs. Crack is the one that we've heard. All speculation. It makes me more than anything, it makes me sad.
Yeah.
Because I like Lamar Odom. And I will confess this, that I've watched a time or two, some Kardashians. And
who hasn't?
He seems like a really, really good dude.
Yes, you have.
He seems like a really good dude. And so what this means to me is that he's struggling with some really, really hard things, some demons in his life, from his history, from his past. So my hope, more than anything, as we talk about this, is that we are given our support out there to a dude that's going through some addiction problems, if that's what it is. That's all I want to say about that. But
I don't really want to talk about it just because any reliable news, you know, station or any, they haven't really come out with the story. It's all speculatory. People who are trying to drum up something. And so we don't really know what the problem is or if it is crack or not. It's just, those are just people that are just fishing for a story. And I don't feel like we need to give it the attention that they want.
I think an issue that it brings up is how does someone, okay, I think we can agree that he is probably having an addiction issue with drugs. Okay.
Sure.
And that we can probably, you know, assume that this has been going on for at least the past two seasons. You can tell performance-wise there's been something wrong.
We don't know that, though.
Some of that's also leaving the Lakers, but...
But the issue it brings up, too, is how is he... How, if he was doing drugs in the season, how does he pass it? Aren't there random drug tests or whatever? I was reading up on it, and there are, like, a player came out, anonymous player. I don't know who it was, whatever. I don't know if this is even true, but he said, like, a lot of the players, most of the drug tests are done before January. All yeah. four will be done before January, and then you don't have any more drug tests. Playoffs, anything.
So you literally
like that.
Have to stay off drugs from October to January.
He said it's like Christmas Day once your last test is done, and a ton of guys just do whatever they want.
Yeah.
Because they're not tested anymore.
Yeah, I've heard that story.
One of the hardest things about the NBA, one of the weirdest things about the NBA is somehow in their CBA, they negotiate that there's no drug test in the offseason. NFL drug tests year round.
Yeah.
NBA, it's like season's over and they're all just going, getting blazed out. And I mean, that's probably a generalization.
I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, halfway through the season, you're done. Yeah. And then what?
That's crazy.
That's really weird. It's really that part is concerning to me.
Yeah,
I don't think that's a good way to do it.
If this is a reality that things like this are happening, and the league needs to step up.
100%.
But shout out to Lamar Odom. Hope you get better. Thanks for listening to the podcast, Lamar. I guess I don't know why I'm shouting out to him. He's not ever going to listen to what we said. But
all this may or may not make it on the podcast.
That's fine. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for joining us on the Down to Dunk podcast. Remember, search us out on Twitter at DTD Podcast. Download us on iTunes. Search Down to Dunk. Remember, chat with us on Twitter. Spread the word. We love hearing from you.
Everybody get up. It's time to slam now. We got the real jam going down. Welcome to the Space Jam. Space Jam. Here's your chance. Do your dance at the Space Jam. All right.